Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on, Joe? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well, Elijah?
Oh, we doing. A lot better than Alex Myers, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I still have my goodness.
My dignity this morning when I came into work.
Oh, man. That stiff arm yesterday by Derrick Henry. I didn't know if it could get more disrespectful than the Josh Norman stiff arm. Yesterday may have been there. I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, both of them are pretty bad. That one yesterday, I mean, he took Alex Meyer's soul yesterday. It was unbelievable.
Well, listen, I've never heard of Alex Meyer before all this. So, you know, he has a higher profile in the NFL now. So congratulations, Alex.
Way to go. Everyone's talking about Alex Meyer today. I'm sure he'll be on Good Morning Football. I mean, that's got to be the angry run winner of the week on Good Morning Football. It's got to be.
It's over.
Yeah.
This has to be proof that, like, not all publicity is good publicity, right?
I mean, you would think so. The best part was, like, later in the game, I want to say it was to A.J. Brown, but it may have been to Corey Davis, but Alex Myers just got up after a play and was just talking the whole time. And I was like, dude, you need to sit down. Like, there's nothing you could say to anyone the rest of the game. Not one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Change your name. Get a fake mustache. Sneak out of the stadium.
Yeah. Exactly. That's going to be our poll question of the day. We'll get that up shortly at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Which was the more disrespectful stiff arm from Derrick Henry? Was it to Alex Myers yesterday? Was it to Josh Norman of the Buffalo Bills earlier in the season? I think it's close. We'll continue to talk about that all show long. Got a big show for you today. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us at 7:30. We'll break down the Vols. They finished the season at 3-7. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us at 8 o'clock. Then Mike Tannenbaum from ESPN NFL analyst, he joins us at 9 o'clock. A lot to get to today. A busy, busy weekend in the world of sports. But, Joe, let's start very simply with the Titans. 46-25 winners over Detroit. They did pretty much whatever they wanted to do offensively and really controlled the game. They had their moments where it was a little hairy on defense, but offensively, I mean, you played just about as well as you could play yesterday in that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess, you know, it's a lot of the same stuff with the Titans. But I think one of the impressive things is that, you know, two straight weeks now they've gone into these games against teams that everybody knows are not good. Now, we talked about it the other day. You know, I made the Titans my lock because I didn't think Matthew Stafford was going to play. Shame on me for not just assuming Matthew Stafford was going to find a way on the field. But he did, and still the Titans handled this game, handled the Jags, rolled both of those teams, you know, handled their business. I mean, I think there's something to be said for all that. And, of course, they are now the highest-scoring team in the NFL.
Yeah.
They have a point more than the Kansas City Chiefs. but, I mean, you're talking about, you know, still 2,000 in sight for Derrick Henry. The franchise, you know, I mean, Tannehill already has the Titans record for touchdown passes and just ridiculous numbers. And both of those receivers are absolutely in range of 1,000. I mean, this is the all-time offense.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's been incredible, and they're on a roll. They've scored at least 30 points or more in the last 5 weeks. So the offense seems to be, you know, finding their gear at the right time of the year. And, you know, we had our struggles and worries about the offense after Taylor Lewan went down, and you know, you had the Pittsburgh game come around, and they struggled to find their footing on a consistent basis offensively for the next few weeks. And Joe, it just kind of seems like right now that they're past that, and the offense is back to clicking on all cylinders. I know the competition has something to do with that as well, but the offense right now, I mean, it just looks borderline unstoppable. And a case of scoregami again yesterday, 46-25 for the Titans against the Lions. The first such 46-25 final score in league history.
Yeah, and 39-18 also would have been the first ever. So,
yeah.
Congratulations to both teams. Lions, good job. You guys, you guys contributed to something interesting.
And then also over the weekend, obviously a big weekend for college football. Alabama gets it done against Florida in the SEC title game. A really cool back-and-forth game there between Alabama and Florida. Clemson just destroys Notre Dame. Ohio State, they were struggling in the first half. They find a way to get it done on the ground in the second half against Northwestern. So your college football rankings are Alabama at number one, Clemson at number two, Ohio State moves up to number three, and then Notre Dame closes us out at number four. Joe, your reaction to the college football playoff rankings, did the committee get it right?
Boring, predictable, same thing every year, year after year. Something needs to change. Did they get it right? You know, I can't sit here and scream and say this team should have been. I mean, you could definitely make a case for Texas A&M, as Jimbo did. Now, I do love it. I just love all this stuff with the coaches. Whatever their situation is clearly like that's what should be in,
right?
Like Jimbo's like, how could you play in this league, have one loss, and not be in? And, of course, someone else would say, how could you be undefeated, win your championship, and not get in? You know, and then Cincinnati's over here. And I have sympathy for Cincinnati. You know, I mean, I think you can make a real case for Cincinnati along with Texas A&M. I mean, they did everything they were asked to do. This is the reality of the Group of Five. Unless you play a way above, you know, above the norm loaded schedule, you're going to lose out to these brand names. So do they get it right? I mean, look, I can't sit here and say that it's wrong, you know, but I think that those two teams did have a case. And I think the whole thing is stale. I mean, I really do. I just think that, and I understand the argument, you know, Ryan McGee made the argument, like, you know, if we expand this thing, so we're going to see Alabama win 55-6 over some 8 seed. I agree, but you know what? The 3-6 and 4-5 games could be awesome. And I mean, you know, I just the idea that at least like maybe the five Power Five champs are autos. You know, I'm on that side of things. But I'm also looking forward to the playoff. You know, I don't have a lot of optimism for anyone to stop Alabama. Clemson, Ohio State could be special again.
Now, we did almost kind of see that nightmare scenario for the ACC that McGee threw out there. I mean, at one point in that game, I was watching Clemson and Notre Dame and wondered to myself, like, is Notre Dame playing their way out of the playoff? Like, they were just getting torched by Trevor Lawrence and Clemson. Obviously, they didn't. They hang on to the four seed. But I did think, Joe, for a minute, like, how bad is this going to get? And can it get bad enough where Notre Dame just gets taken out of the playoff and Texas A&M slides up to that four spot?
Yeah. No, I thought the same thing, no doubt. That Clemson team, I mean, Clemson, Alabama, I mean, look, we've seen that a lot. There's a rerun that I'm not mad if we get it because, boy, I think those are clearly the two dominant teams. Now, I also think the one thing to keep in mind with Ohio State, and Ohio State, of course, we're watching that too and saying, oh, boy, the one thing to keep in mind, I mean, Ohio State was missing like 20 guys, including their best receiver, and they ended up figuring out, oh, wait, if you run the ball every play, you will just score touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, they finally figured that out. I still think that Ohio State Clemson could be an epic game. But I agree. I thought the same thing on Notre Dame, that they might be out of there. I will say that that game also, and everything I saw, changed up my Heisman view a little bit. I submitted my vote last night, and I'm glad we had these last games because – It's tough. It's tough this year. You know, it's one of those stats versus position versus, you know, being surrounded by talent, all this stuff. I have no idea how that thing's going to go. And usually by now, the end of the season, the end of conference championship season, you have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, and like, you know, for the Alabama fans who were talking about it's between Mac Jones and Devontae Smith, well, Mac Jones throws for 400 yards the other night, 5 touchdowns against Florida. And Devontae Smith has 15 catches for 184 yards and 2 touchdowns. And not to mention Najee Harris scores 5 total touchdowns. So I don't really know what to make. Like, I'm not sure it became any clearer to me the other night for Alabama of who my Heisman vote would have been.
I mean, watching college football all day, I heard at least, like, I think I heard like 5 different people mentioned by a play-by-play guy as a favorite for the Heisman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can't all win. They can't all go. But, yeah, I'm watching that game like, my gosh, Najee Harris is ridiculous. Like, you know, it's not just that he's, you know, obviously running over a not very good defense with the best offensive line in football, period, in college football, period. But, like, he's also going out and running, like, stop and start slants for touchdowns,
yeah.
You know? I mean, the guy is insane. And so, again, that gets to the whole, like, you know, it's like Mac Jones is really good and deserves a lot of credit. He also is just surrounded by an unbelievable collection of talent,
yeah,
that plays at an unbelievable level. He does, too. You know, so it's – but and then I'm watching Trevor Lawrence. I'm like, you tell me who's a better football player than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Really.
He was unbelievable. Tough. I mean, it's a really tough vote. I'm fascinated to see how that Heisman vote turns out. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence had enough time left to kind of close the gap on the Alabama players, but he certainly looked good on Saturday. And then, Joe, some more good news over the weekend, becoming final yesterday, the NHL announcing that they have come to an agreement. The players and the NHL agree to a 56-game regular season schedule, which will feature all divisional play. So the Predators, they remain in the Central Division. The division looks a little bit different this year. I mean, Chicago's still there. Dallas is still there. But Detroit comes back. Columbus comes back. You add in Florida and Tampa Bay. It's going to be an interesting look to the Central Division this year. And that will be the only teams that the Predators play in the regular season, along with Carolina as well. I forgot to mention them. So kind of a fascinating approach the NHL has taken, but we're going to have some hockey starting on January 13th.
Yeah, that's the headline. We've got it nailed down. We're going to have hockey. We have start dates for everything. Training camp the 3rd, I believe.
Yep.
And, hey, the Red Wings back as a rival.
Yeah.
That's fun. Weird to me that St. Louis is out west, you know. maybe not ideal for them. And, of course, it's probably not ideal for all these teams to have to play Tampa Bay that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it balances out pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. And just happy to have some hockey. So pretty soon, like after we get through the holidays here, we'll have some playoff football, hockey starting up, NBA starting up on Christmas. We're about to get back into a real good sweet spot for sports, Joe Rexroad. Looking forward to it.
Yes. Hopefully the COVID-19 can at some point stop going nuts.
Yes.
In our state and elsewhere, but we're pushing forward with the sports, and you know that, so you have to like that.
Coming up next, the Titans offense just absolutely steamrolled the Lions yesterday in a 46-25 win. What do we make of this offense right now? Where are they as they head down the stretch and hopefully into the playoffs? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
As we join you from Nissan Stadium here in Nashville, Tannehill plays, he puts some air under it, takes a shot, hands Corey Davis wide open, Davis still going, and he's in for the touchdown.
Big day yesterday for Ryan Tannehill, Corey Davis, and that Tennessee Titans offense, and a 46-25 win for the Titans against the Detroit Lions. The Titans improved to 10-4 on the season. They remain in first place in the AFC South. And Joe, I thought Tannehill yesterday, I mean, he did whatever he wanted to do. Finishes 21-27 with 273 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns. Also adds 2 touchdowns on the ground. Tannehill was borderline flawless yesterday, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, yesterday was one of those. It's like, you know, every game, it seems, maybe not the losses as much, but it's one or the other is like, oh, my gosh, that guy carries the team. You know, Henry or Tannehill, the truth is they both do, but Tannehill yesterday was absolutely top of his game. And, you know, five total touchdowns for the guy, too. I will say, and it was actually pretty funny after the game, that first TD, you know, that's one of those where the teammates appreciate it and you got the touchdown, but there's just no need. You're going to score a touchdown and no matter what, you know, maybe take it out of bounds at the two. And he said that Vrabel, you know, he could tell when he went back to the sideline because Vrabel had a scowl on his face, you know. And I mean, I tweeted that immediately and people were like, oh, shut up. And I'm like, man, just, you know.
It's not worth it, man.
You lose that guy. You lose that guy. And again, it's in a name your score game against the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, fourth down in Lambeau. Now, maybe that's different. You know, late in the game, you're down four or whatever. But regardless, Tannehill was absolutely tremendous. You know, the Lions hung around enough. You know, he had to make some pressure throws. That big play to Firkser, I think third and 11, when the Lions were, you know, close. You know, just spreading the ball around. I mean, you're talking about it's like 10 guys caught a pass yesterday. And just putting the ball in some tight windows, too, to Jonnu Smith, to Michael Pruitt. Just all-around excellence from Tannehill.
Yeah, and then Corey Davis, a big game again. Yesterday, four catches, 110 yards. Obviously, you heard coming back into this segment the highlight of the 75-yarder. And the route that Corey Davis ran on that play was just unbelievable. He sells it like he's going over the middle, cuts it back outside. And, you know, he does the rest after Tannehill hits him with the ball. But just a great game from Corey Davis. You know, you typically see, like, the huge play in the passing game from A.J. Brown. But it was nice to see Corey Davis kind of stretch the field yesterday. You don't see him bust off a 70-yarder too often.
Well, right, and that was a great design. And they used A.J. Brown on that play, too.
Yeah.
The route design really put them in a bind with AJ on the same side. And that was a beautiful little bit underthrown, but it worked out perfectly. And then of course Davis adjusted perfectly to that. So he's at 945. So, you know, he's going to have his first 1,000-yard season. And I think AJ Brown has a great chance himself. I mean, he's at 881. So yep. He needs 119 in the last two. So you think about all those things that are on the table. And of course, Henry 1679. So the disappointment of the 147-yard game against the Lions, you know, that's where we are with Derrick Henry. so now he needs 160 each game here to get to 2K. And then of course, Tannehill can get to 4,000. He has a shot at that, about 500 plus yards for him to get to 4,000. So imagine if they had a 4,000-yard passer, 2,000-yard receivers, and a 2,000-yard rusher. It's on the table.
Yeah, it's on the table. I mean, you might even say that it's somewhat likely at this point. I mean, it's incredible to see what this Titans offense has done. By the way, Tannehill became the first Titans quarterback yesterday to throw for 30 touchdowns in a season. So he continues to just roll right along. And then we saw a little bit of Darrington Evans action yesterday in the backfield. Joe gets in there. Obviously, he's been dealing with injuries for most of the season, but Evans gets in there, runs the ball, I thought, pretty well for the most part, catches a touchdown. Interesting to see kind of what a weapon he could be and how they could use him coming down the stretch here in that offense.
Yeah, there were a couple plays where it was like, oh, okay. I mean, you can see the explosion with Darrington Evans. And, you know, of course, again, in the Derrick Henry search for history, you're looking at that and saying, man, those, you know, that could be some easy yards for Derrick Henry. But, I mean, it makes sense to get Darrington Evans in there in a game that's over and a guy who could help you here down the stretch. I mean, he's a really interesting player. There's a reason they drafted him where they did. And that's something to watch. It's unfair, probably, you know, for anybody facing the Titans that they would add another dude who you have to worry about. But I'm going to be really interested to see if they weave him in more and, you know, try to get him going in the passing game a little bit. Why not?
It's Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, I got a question for y'all. On the play where Tannehill was sacked for safety, it seems like Henry could have chipped him to prevent the sack. Did you guys see that? What do you think? Other than that, they were great on offense. I thought on that play, number one, it was an interesting decision by Quessenberry on that play to go for the cut block. I just kind of saw it, and I was like, I don't know if that's the greatest place on the field to be going for the cut block. Obviously, by the time Tannehill turned around, the guy was in his face. But, I have to go back and look and see what Derrick Henry did on that play. I thought the more interesting decision was Quessenberry going for the cut block.
Yeah, I just thought Henry was in another spot altogether there. So I'll have to go back and look at that. I didn't think that when I watched it. Yeah, Quessenberry obviously going for the cut, and it was just completely hurdled, and he was on Tannehill super fast. But I didn't see where Henry should have had something there. But, we'll check it out.
Yeah, we'll check it out, Ron. Don't worry about it. But that was, like, literally the one mistake they made on offense the whole day. Like, that one play on the goal line where you allow the safety, that was literally the one thing they messed up all day on offense. And you thought, like, maybe it could hurt because you get the safety. All of a sudden, maybe Detroit comes back down the field the other way and scores, and they were going to get the ball back after halftime. You thought maybe that could be a turning point in the game, and then you just realized that it didn't matter what Detroit did out there defensively. They just weren't stopping this Titans team, and you mentioned it in the last segment. Right now, the Titans, the highest-scoring team in the NFL. They're 1 point ahead of the Chiefs, I think 2 points ahead of the Packers, which they'll see next Sunday night. So, you know, maybe even still nationally, people don't think about the Titans' offense as high-powered as Kansas City's or Green Bay's or New Orleans or whatever team you want to throw out there. But right now, the highest scoring team in the NFL, your Tennessee Titans.
Yep. And also, they're number two in total offense. So the Chiefs are still number one there, 427.9 a game, 43-59 on the season. Titans are number two at 399.4 per game. And of course, number one in rushing yards, 160.4 a game, but balance and explosiveness, and you know, they've got everything. They got Arthur Smith drawing up stuff that's working left and right, and it's just interesting because this offense is good enough that I think they could win the last two and make a real run, and I still think this defense is bad enough that it could go the other way. And it's crazy that they're 10-4 right now. And, you know, they've gotten into the playoffs twice in a 16 field with nine, and they still are not a lock at 10 wins to get in. And if you look around at the other schedules and stuff, I mean, this is no sure thing. There's a lot of pressure here on these last two games.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, good morning, fellas. Was just curious if anyone else noticed that the Titans should have got a delay of game penalty for the two-point conversion. Yes, I did notice that. They were about a second and a half late on snapping the ball when Derrick Henry ran it in for the two-point conversion. Not that it really matters. Like, they probably would have backed it up and gotten the two-point anyway. But, yes, they were late on that. The ref missed that by about a second.
It's always weird when the ref misses the play clock.
Yeah, like, you're staring right at
it. I know there's one official in particular. That's your responsibility right there. So, like, if that gets missed, then that is an official being like a little kid in the outfield in a Little League game, like looking at butterflies, you know? Like, I mean, there's one person who is assigned to that. But, yeah, no, I noticed.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, the Titans have outscored their opponents by 67 points in the last 10 quarters. Are they the most feared offense in the NFL? I would probably still say that Kansas City is the most feared league-wide just based on their quarterback. But, I mean, Derrick Henry and company, they're moving up the list. They're certainly, I think, in the top three.
Yeah, you know, I would think almost the majority of people would say Kansas City, and I would still agree with that just because it's just – there's just no situation you can put them in where you feel good about it.
Right.
You know, I don't know if whoever watched the Kansas City Saints game, I watched the whole game yesterday. Actually, the Saints have a really good D and did a good job in that game, honestly. And still, you get Mahomes running around on third and forever, you know, and just making throws that kill you as a defense. And the vertical threat and obviously the tight end who just can't be covered, I would still put them first. But the Titans with that balance, it really is a problem. I mean, Ryan Tannehill yesterday, you know, what is he? So he's 21 for 27, 273, three touchdowns, runs for two. His rating is 145.8, which is, you know, 8 points off, less than 8 points off the perfect quarterback rating. Receivers all over the place making plays. I mean, we've talked about Corey Davis. I mean, he is just having a monster year. It's two guys that people have to deal with on the outside who are just a problem. I mean, they're right there. And the fact that these teams are not built, for the most part, to handle a power running game, it's quite a combination of factors. And again, it gives this team a chance, I think, to win every time out the rest of the way.
Derrick Henry back on the highlight reel yesterday, absolutely dummied Alex Myers from the Detroit Lions. Which stiff arm was more disrespectful, that one yesterday or the one earlier this season against Josh Norman and the Buffalo Bills? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. Get your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Just another great one from Corey Davis. Henry. Look at that stiff arm. And then if you're running sideways, forget about it. That's Josh Norman all day long. You cannot tackle Derrick Henry when you both are running sideways against each other. You got to go take out his leg.
He did it again yesterday in the game against the Lions. Derrick Henry with another disrespectful stiff arm, this time at the expense of Alex Myers from the Detroit Lions. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, like, to hear that was the craziest part about it. And I'm not sure if there was like a mic on the sideline or what it was, why it was so loud. But to hear like just the amount of disrespect of Derrick Henry just basically slapping Alex Myers out of the way, it was incredible to watch. Like, the sideline exploded, even though the crowd's not at full capacity. Everybody, I mean, you could hear the crowd. It sounded like they were. It was a great moment for the Titans, great moment for Derrick Henry. And I felt bad for Alex Myers yesterday. It was bad.
Yeah, see, so the Josh Norman stiff arm is hard to beat in terms of highlight, replayability, because he was horizontal, you know, like I mean, think of all the memes that have been made from that stiff arm. Like, I mean, he just went so airborne, and it was just like perfect. It was like the beautiful stiff arm, you know, like the perfect outcome. But I actually think that this was a nastier stiff arm.
Oh, me too.
I think this was more disrespectful. This was like, just like, it was really almost just like slapping someone in the ground, you know? So it does. So like, this didn't have the result that, you know, that the Norman one did. And also maybe the fact that it was Norman, you know, more of a known guy in the league is another thing. But I actually think this was Henry's nastiest stiff arm.
That's our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Which Derrick Henry stiff arm was more disrespectful? Almost 100 votes in so far. 62% are still going with Josh Norman, 38% going with Alex Myers. And Joe, I like the way you framed it there. Like, in terms of the highlight itself, I would probably go Norman. And I do think the fact that it's Josh Norman has something to do with it. I think Josh Norman, not very liked around the league, certainly among football fans. But so you know who that is. And it was quite frankly hilarious to watch him go horizontal like that. I would agree that, like, in terms of just pure disrespect, I mean, he runs it really a stiff arm. He basically just slapped Alex Myers yesterday. And you had some Lions fans, like, mad about it on Twitter, saying it should have been a penalty and all this other stuff.
Oh,
but,
God,
man,
really?
It was. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I thought the one yesterday was more disrespectful. He slapped another grown man to the ground. That's exactly what happened. I mean, it was crazy.
I did not encounter these soft Lions fans who thought that shit. What would the penalty have been? Like, unnecessary roughness?
They're talking about, like, hands to the face. Yeah, like face mask.
Yeah, soft
assault,
Lions,
maybe?
Assault.
Yeah, assault, I guess.
Maybe assault.
I guess they're looking for charges more than they are a flag. I think that's what they'd be asking for.
Yeah. Let's go to our text.
Yeah, maybe misdemeanor assault. Maybe.
Yeah, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, yesterday was just a slap. It was not a stiff arm. I was like, well, That could be the case, but it was incredible to watch. And another big day for Derrick Henry yesterday. I mean, he just continues to put up historic numbers. Now he's over the 1,600-yard mark. He finishes with 147 yards on the ground yesterday. And quite frankly, I mean, he could have gotten more. Obviously, they took him out, and Darrington Evans came in and got some more carries. But 24 carries, 147 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, and the one touchdown. Another great day for Derrick Henry yesterday, even though he started somewhat slow on the first three carries of the drive or of the game.
Oh, yeah, of course. This is like we always talk about, you know, so the opposing team will get some TFL on him and celebrate. I mean, they should. You should live that up. You should enjoy it because it's about to change on you. And by the end of that drive, it had already changed on the Lions. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you can't possibly have a problem with a 147-yard game, but – you know, there were probably some more yards there against the Lions. I mean, he's going to need another monster game, you know, to have a shot at 2,000. He needs 160.5 in these last two. 321 yards is what he needs to get to 2,000.
He can get it.
And, you know, he could do it. I mean, the Packers are not great defensively. We know the Texans are not at all. Kind of just and look, we know these games – are going to matter too. That's for sure. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Derrick Henry and this race for 2,000 and everything. And it was like, well, that Texans game might not matter. Well, it's going to matter now. I mean, there's absolutely no way around it. Certainly at least for the division and likely for the playoffs. So, from the Henry perspective, it's there. He's also 195 yards ahead of Dalvin Cook, who had a really good day for the Vikings and still lost ground.
Yeah.
I think he had 133 yards, you know, in a loss to the Bears. So pretty hard to imagine Cook coming up and beating Henry as long as Henry, you know, stays healthy and plays in both these games.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD texts in and says, I think I'm slowly building a tolerance to Henry's stiff arms. I saw it live and just thought to myself, yep, that's what he does now. I mean, it is becoming, you know, somewhat routine for Derrick Henry at this point to just throw other human beings out of the way. But I don't know if I'll ever get used to something like that we saw yesterday. It's going to be awesome every single time.
Yeah, you got to try to maintain, you know, the magic and the wonder of every Derrick Henry stuff. I mean, a stiff arm like this, if you think that's run of the mill, I mean, come on, you gotta enjoy that one. That was Derrick Henry stiff arms people every game. And I still think of the low stiff arm on the 94-yard TD run against the Texans, for example. You know, that was hard to do, to even get down there to pull it off. So it's an effective weapon for him, but there aren't many like this, right? I mean, this is, you know, when we do the Derrick Henry collage of stiff arms, I mean, this one and the Josh Norman one are gonna, right now, those are right at the top. One or two of them on that 99-yard run are also in there. I mean, he's had a lot of really good ones, but I mean, those are the top two, right? I think so.
Yeah, like, don't you, if you're a defender at this point, and you heard Archuleta talking about it on the broadcast yesterday, like, if you're running sideways and you see that guy running sideways next to you, you have to know what's coming at this point, right? Like, Derrick Henry, you could see it. If you go back and watch the replay, like, he's sitting there looking for the right moment to strike against Alex Myers. Like, dude, just go low. Like, dive at his feet. That's the only thing you can do in that situation. Why people continue to try to, like, run with him and stand up to him is beyond me. It's not going to end well.
Right. It's not going to work. I mean, and you're right. It was like the fattest, you know, hanging curveball that you'll ever see. I mean, it was if you're like, okay, well, I'm going to do it right now. Go low. Grab his feet and hold on for life.
William on Twitter says, this is a tough one, talking about the poll question of the day. Derrick Henry threw Josh Norman into the stands, but he drove Myers into the crust of the earth. Either way, it's a tough look for both of those guys. That's a great way to put it.
That is. I mean, like, it's probably a good thing that, you know, that Nissan Stadium at least has some time. You know, but if there's a home playoff game, it may be done, maybe a home playoff game, but, you know, they probably have some repair work to do around that spot. Alex Myers' body left a crater.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texts in and says, what do you think about comparing Henry to Jerome Bettis, but with Chris Johnson's speed. I don't know if I'd give him Chris Johnson's speed, but he certainly got some good speed to him. And the power that he has, man, it's impressive. Like, even Jerome Bettis, though, like, he would run through people. I'm not sure that Jerome Bettis was just, like, physically picking up people with his hand and chucking them to the ground all the time. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, who are the best? Because I've thrown out the bus before with Henry. The thing about Jerome Bettis, unbelievable nimble feet and shiftiness for that size. So he was power, and also he was just incredible at little jump cuts in the hole. I mean, you know, and he had no speed.
Yeah.
I mean, really, he wasn't outrunning anyone. Yeah, it's not Chris Johnson's speed. It's just interesting. Yeah, it's something like that. It's like the power back, the home run speed, but also who are the best stiff armers? I've never really thought about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the history of football, because, like, I've never seen anyone stiff arm get this much attention.
I mean, Marshawn Lynch was pretty good at it.
Yeah. I mean, lots of guys have done it and have been effective at it. I mean, it's an effective weapon for, you know, for a runner of the football, but I cannot recall stiff arms getting this much attention before Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has made the stiff arm cooler than it's ever been.
And it was hilarious, and I told you guys this in the break last segment, to watch, you know, after Derrick Henry stiff arms Myers yesterday, like, Packers Twitter, I mean, they just went nuts. They started, like, tagging the defensive coordinator, saying, oh, my God, we're going to die, like, all these different things. Derrick Henry has become, like, this folk hero around the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I tell you what, you know, Sunday night, not only do you have, like, the – you know, two of the top three offenses, but I mean, you got two of the probably three players that people would most want to watch in this league at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and frankly, probably two of the top three candidates for the MVP. I mean, I still think it's Mahomes, Rodgers, and then probably Henry tops the next tier. But yeah, I mean, he's become this. I mean, when's the last time, if ever, there's been a player for the Titans who was so, you know, like LeBron James is tweeting about Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
They got such attention around the league.
I don't know if it's ever happened to this degree. I really don't. I mean, they've had some great players, obviously, and Chris Johnson, yeah, 2,000-yard season, but it's just so different now with social media and just everything that the Titans – I mean, I don't know if they've ever had a star player like this that has so many different highlight moments. Like, I think – Derrick Henry's already at the top of that list.
So I'm looking. I have now started to look up the greatest stiff armers. Bleacher Report did a piece on the greatest. And now, this is going back, though. This is going back like 11 years. They did a piece on the top 15 stiff armers in NFL history. Okay?
Okay.
You mentioned Marshawn Lynch. They ranked him third of all time. You know who they ranked fifth of all time? And there's an amazing picture of him leveling someone. Lendale White. Do you recall this?
Really? Was he around long enough to do that?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it was such a short, you know, little window of him being a really good player.
I was about to say, that doesn't speak well for the rest of the stiff armers on that list, if Lendale White's fifth on the list.
Yeah, I mean, you got Steven Jackson, LaDainian Tomlinson on there. Marion Barber is an interesting one. You know, I hadn't thought about him. D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart from the Panthers. Adrian Peterson's on there. He's fourth overall. I don't – like, that's – like, I have no doubt that he's has a good stiff arm, right? But I've never thought of that with him. Like, when Derrick Henry – like, when he goes – you know, whatever. If he goes in the Hall of Fame or he retires, whenever there's some sort of – you know, commemorative moment for him, like, that will be a huge part of it, right? Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be.
Like, who else can you say that about?
Yeah, very few. That's for sure. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Danny texts in and says, definitely more disrespectful stiff arm was Myers to the face. Norman's was to the shoulder pad. Pretty sure he felt like me as a child after talking back to my dad, talking about Myers.
Scolded, grounded.
Just thrown aside. When we come back, we've talked about Ryan Tannehill, the great day that he had yesterday against the Lions. Has he officially had the greatest season for a Titans quarterback of all time? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Arthur Smith likes to get tricky and dial up some special stuff in the goal-to-go situations. Tannehill third and goal over the middle. A.J. Brown, and he's in for the touchdown.
Another monster day yesterday for Ryan Tannehill as the Titans win 46-25 against the Detroit Lions. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Ryan Tannehill finishes 21 of 27, 273 yards, three touchdowns, adds another two touchdowns on the ground, which, by the way, like, is there a more, I guess, unstoppable play right now than the Titans lining up on the goal line and faking the ball to Henry and watching the literal entire defense just chase Derrick Henry one way and Tannehill just scoots it in to the end zone before anybody knows he's there? Like, that works like every time they call it because everybody's so focused on Derrick Henry.
That works pretty well. And Tannehill was a little late with the finger roll, but he eventually did get to the finger roll.
The landings have gotten a lot better for him on that touchdown celebration.
Yes. Yeah. No more of the, oh my gosh, awkwardly on the knee. By the way, speaking of celebrations, did you see the A.J. Brown, Ben Jones celebration?
Yeah, it was great. Sure did.
Ben Jones apparently came up with that. So
the Michael Jackson celebration? Yeah.
Really grabbed the groin with a lot of oomph there.
a lot of force done there. So Ryan Tannehill right now, he's got 3,482 yards, 31 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. We talked about became the first Titans quarterback to throw for 30 touchdowns or more in a season. So, Joe, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, kind of comparing Ryan Tannehill to the best we've seen from Steve McNair. And it's hard to do that, I think, because you've got two different eras of football, two different styles of football, and the NFL is just a lot different now. But I think this is the greatest season we've ever seen from a Titans quarterback. I know McNair was great. I know he won the co-MVP with Peyton Manning in 2003, and he looked great that year. And it's hard to judge it purely from a statistical standpoint. But just with the placement of the ball, with the different ways that Tannehill can hurt you, and that this Titans offense can win games, I think this is the single greatest season we have ever seen from a Titans quarterback.
I can't disagree with you. I will say that, you know, I want to see these last two games. I mean, as far as just purely passing performance, yeah, I mean, how do you argue with that? And Tannehill right now is, I mean, he is right there in terms of, you know, he's fourth right now in QB rating, but he's right behind Mahomes and Watson. They're at 110.6. He's at 110.4.
Yep.
Rodgers, if we're talking MVP race and we're taking that into account, Rodgers is well ahead at 118 in the number one spot. But I mean, with Tannehill, you talk about, you know, 66.5%, 8-1 per attempt, 34-82. Again, 31 touchdowns and 5 picks. It's crazy stuff. Again, there are a lot of quarterbacks putting up big-time numbers, and there are people who are still going to look at Tannehill and say, well, play-action game and, you know, Derrick Henry, all that stuff, and that's fine. But, again, if you watch him week after week, snap after snap, he is elite. And I would tend to agree with you. Again, though, I mean, look, the nature of the AFC this year, it's really that's what it is more than anything for the Titans. But the nature of the AFC is that they're not in the clear here to even make the postseason. And so he's got two road games here where he's going to have to perform at a high level because these next two quarterbacks that are going to face the Titans defense could do some crazy stuff as well. So here it is. It's a different era, and McNair was co-MVP, and he was playing through injury, and we know the differences, but you know, the team success that year was there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is right now, they need him to step up again and again and get them in and maybe get them the AFC South Championship. If he does that, then I don't think there's any debate.
And, Joe, it's interesting because I think some people hear what you just said, and they say, wait a minute. The Titans are 10-4. They're in first place in the AFC South. What do you mean they like they're in danger of missing the playoffs? But you wrote about this yesterday on The Athletic. Like, you look around the rest of the AFC right now, and specifically with the playoff picture, I mean, the Ravens, another win yesterday. The Browns keep winning. It is interesting, like, how much pressure is going to be on the Titans down the stretch here in these last two games. We talked last week about, you know, is the game against Houston going to end up being meaningful? I mean, I think there's no way it's not going to be meaningful at this point. The Titans are not out of the woods yet in terms of making the playoffs. They still got some work to do.
Well, this is the interesting thing about yesterday. Like, for me, I was going to write about, you know, like Kyle Tucker wrote about the Titans finally breaking the 9-7 string, which is huge. And I was going to write about Darrington Evans and Adoree Jackson. I did. But in the process, I went through the standings and everything, just like, okay, so where's everything looking? I'm like, you know what? Gosh, it's crazy. But with the Dolphins coming back and winning that game, remember we were talking, you know, Belichick, rookie quarterback, and all that stuff. They come back and win. That's the team. You know, that's the team that had they lost, Titans would have gotten in. You know, the Dolphins are they are a problem right now. See, they play the Bills at the end. The Bills might not have anything to play for. They also play the Raiders next. They could lose that game too. I mean, there's not. You know, this could end up being no big deal at all. But the Ravens have two absolute gimmies. And I know in this league you're real careful, but you got the Giants and you got the Bengals.
Yeah.
Okay, Ravens are going to be 11-5. Dolphins could be 11-5. You look at the rest of the situation. The Browns now are 10-4. They got the tiebreaker. You know, I mean, the Titans can't lose these last two games and feel good about it. And look, I think they could absolutely win both of these games, but it's not crazy to think they might lose in Lambeau. And it's not crazy to me that they might lose in Houston against Deshaun Watson. I mean, you know, the Texans almost helped the Titans again yesterday. And then you don't have a problem also, but they didn't. They fumbled at the one-yard line when they were about to send that game to overtime. 2 weeks ago, they fumbled a snap when they were about to, I think, go up late in the game. But Deshaun Watson is going to be going against your defense in the finale. So, yeah, there's a ton of pressure. It's just it's interesting that you add a team to the playoffs. You know, you add a team and you have seven, and you have 10 with two to go, and you're not a lock to make it when you made it in these 16 fields twice with nine. That's what the AFC is this year. It's really good.
It is, and it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch here. In Houston, it was fascinating to watch yesterday because Indy got up so quick. I mean, it was 14-0 yesterday in the first quarter. And I thought to myself, well, Houston is totally just packing it in. They're done. They want no part of the rest of the season. And you can chalk up a win for the Titans when they meet up in week 17. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, they battled their way back in that game. So I agree. Like, I would still give the Titans the edge in that Houston game. And obviously, there's still a lot of work to do before then because that Houston defense is so bad. But anytime you have Deshaun Watson, like, you've got to be careful of that game. I mean, the Titans, you feel great about their offense right now, but still some work to do on that front. And we'll continue to talk about that throughout the week here on Robbie and Rexroad. When we come back, we'll dive back into some college football talk. The college football playoff rankings came out yesterday. Did the committee get it right? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.